When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Niamh Kavanagh.
And I'm Gerald Farrelly.
And you're listening to Agony Rants.
Oh, welcome, listener. Welcome, welcome.
I know. I'm very excited today, actually, because I get to solve problems even though I'm an ex-Eurovision winner. I don't know what that's about. You know? It's like I've been blessed with some sort of loveliness to share with the
world. Exactly. You collected that trophy.
I did. And immediately became a counsellor to the world.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, I'm either going to be Whitney Houston or the world's most renowned psychologist.
Okay.
And do you know what? You've managed to do both.
Lovely. But which phase of Whitney now? Because it's really important you get the right phase.
How will I know?
Hello.
Yes. How will I know? Yeah, that came up on a playlist.
Did it?
Recently. And I thought, you know what now? That song is vastly underrated.
Oh, no, it is. It's an amazing song.
It's a great song.
But you see, the one I like is Your Love Is My Love.
Really?
I love that phase because it's very chill.
It's very chill.
Now, you know, Whitney, remember, I'm in my 50s now. I don't want to be going, how will I know? I don't have quite the same energy for that.
That was a phase of Whitney's life where she was very relaxed.
Very chill.
There were problems in the world and they didn't reach Whitney.
I know.
They really didn't.
I know. That's sad. That's sad. But, you know, to be fair, you know, menopause is doing very similar ideas. Yes.
Niamh is in the bell jar of menopause at the moment.
Very much so.
The world is happening, but it's not reaching her.
I'll be honest with you, menopause is a very sharing experience.
Is it? Indeed.
For everyone who lives around me, yeah.
I look forward to it. I do look forward to it, Niamh. I can't wait.
You're actually not going to have the menopause. I'm news for you, Gerald. You'll have the monopause, which is what most men get.
Well, apparently people say that men have the same cycle as women.
Is that because they live together? Is that, you know, that, you know, no, when they say women all live together, they all go.
No, it's got to do with the moon.
Okay.
I know. Yeah, I've gone very woo-woo, Niamh, I have to say. I'll tell you why, right?
Okay.
I did a gig in London during the week.
And I love the London Irish Centre.
It was a lovely gig.
It is like, lovely.
Lovely gig. Very nice. Lovely audience. But here's the problem. I've had this sinus infection for the past week.
Oh, yes. Well.
So I've done 3 shows. All of them should have been cancelled.
For many reasons.
I did Nina and I was grand. Actually, Nina was really good fun. And then at the end of the show, I started to lose my voice. Oh. And then I did the London Irish Centre. And I am not joking. And apologies to anyone eating their breakfast on a Monday morning. But the snot was streaming down my face.
The level of guitar.
They were looking at me like this man is coked off his head. Speaking of Whitney. Like,
were you rubbing your nose a lot?
Was there a lot of that? I was rubbing my nose a lot, and it was like, oh, it was absolutely disgusting. And also, it was a small room, so like the people were really close. They were like, you know, there was no illusion going on.
A
they
small
were like,
bit of sharing experience.
This man is wiping his nose in his sleeve. This grown man, that's what he's doing. That's what's happening. But at that show, the other one I did was at Port Marnock, which I was to say, no, I have to say, it was a great gig. Really good fun.
I know.
Fabulous audience, but I was dying sick. Like, I was so sick, I was mortified by how sick I was, right? I got like about 20 minutes into the gig and I was like, girl, what have you done? Like, why did you say yeah? Like, you should have, people get sick, cancel.
You're allowed.
Like, at one point I had tissues up my sleeve and they fell out. And I didn't realise they fell out.
You're like, oh man, stuff.
Yeah, it was the most disgusting.
Did
just
you have the wrong cardigan on? Is that what it was?
That's basically it.
You know, because you know
have a
that's
cardigan
the trick.
With a little pocket. Yeah.
That's the trick, actually. You have to have the right cardigan on because cardigans and tissues up sleeve actually go together.
Yeah, you need to have a cuff.
Yeah, you do.
I didn't have a cuff on my jacket, Niamh. And like two of me filthy, snot ridden tissues fell out on the stage. And I'd say it was about 10 minutes before I even noticed. The audience were just like, what is happening to this man? He's. And then
do you think they were laughing out of sympathy then?
Then I started to sweat.
Oh.
It was just, I was like Whitney on the X Factor. That's what I was like. Do you remember Whitney and the X Factor when her top fell off and her bra came out? Do you remember? Yeah, that's what it was.
Wow.
Was that Whitney or Judy Finnegan?
I'm be honest with you. Judy Finnegan on the awards ceremony, wasn't it? Yeah. God bless her. That was, there was a lot of conversation about that.
Anyway, there was a woman in the audience before I started talking about my snotty nose who could read auras.
Oh.
And she was telling every comedian that came on like what colour their aura was, and they were all having these conversations with her. And I was a bit like, no.
Enough now.
Enough of this now. So when I went on, I was just like, no, you shut up. I'm not interested. And like, I just did the set. Lovely, lovely gig. And she was laughing away. But then there was a part of me that I wish I'd asked her what colour my aura was. Yeah. I say she just was a black. You're a real dark energy.
So you didn't actually find out what was going on?
No, because I was just like, everyone was talking, every comedian that went up, she told them what colour her aura was, and she was talking to them, and I was just like, people are sick of this now, they've had enough.
Yeah.
It's funny once. Yeah, do you know what I mean? When you're the fourth person to do it.
I know.
So I was just like, shut it, you're a charlatan.
I think you're entering the menopause a bit earlier than I was expecting.
I know. I went full Karen yesterday.
Oh, Karen.
I'll tell you what happened. I ordered...
What did you order? It
suddenly feel very middle-aged. Now.
Come on, give me the middle-aged.
My Nutribullet is aging badly. So I decided I'd order new parts for my Nutribullet.
Oh, so you're going to do a little bit of assembly.
Well, they're expensive.
They are.
Do you know what I mean? 120 quid for a Nutribullet. I was like, I can just get a couple of new cups, a new blender attachment,
yeah,
a new rubber seal.
So, in other words, a new Nutribullet. Is that not like what the Nutribullet is?
Yeah, you buy all the parts separate. It came to an even 300 quid now. So what I did was I ordered them from Amazon.
Okay.
And the Amazon driver left the package, like, not only outside my apartment, outside the apartment block.
Oh, God.
On the street.
On the street.
Yeah. Now,
beside
you know
Tesco's
where I live.
Express.
Beside Tesco's Express. Because I live over Tesco's, listener. I realise you're all probably incredibly jealous.
His apartment is gorgeous. Again, I just want to be clear. He has a sea view.
Again, much like Whitney Houston, I live over at Tesco's. And they left it out in the street.
No way.
So I'm in a moral dilemma, Niamh. Right?
Oh, you could pretend.
I could just pretend I didn't get it.
And get a refund.
But then I'm kind of like, is that like bad karma?
Oh,
or is
it
that,
totally,
you know,
is.
I mean,
don't,
I know it is.
And especially now that you've said it on
the
podcast.
But what's
the
worst thing that can happen?
Somebody listens to the podcast.
Yeah, Amazon are going, Geraint, Jeff Bezos will be back in touch. Geraint, we've clearly heard
on
the podcast.
We will not get any sponsorship from Amazon if you keep that up. This is why we don't have sponsors.
If you have a company and you would like an ad
on
Agony Rants.
Come on.
150 grand. For our reach, it's not a lot to ask.
It's such a small amount. Tell me about this now. Simon Harris. He's young, vibrant.
Okay.
I don't know. He's the youngest. When did we become much older?
I know. I'm actually really upset that the Prime Minister is so young. Now, here's the problem, right? I do think Simon Harris, I do think he's incredible. Right, I do think. No, he is. Like, he's had a couple of moments, like his repeal moment, his COVID moment. Like, he was very.
Yeah, no, he
you know,
has
people
been
were
very...
like. And I remember at one point thinking that man is one Tony and Guy consultation away from being absolutely unstoppable.
Okay, it's his hair you have a
it's
problem
the hair. Why is he going grey naturally?
Because.
No, see, here's the thing, right? I do think a man can go grey and look distinguished.
Okay.
Right, I do think I'm not against that, but he looks too young.
I know what you mean. He's young, yeah.
I tell you what he needs. He needs a fade and a rinse.
Or he needs to kind of, you know, not look so pale underneath it. That's the problem. Is there not enough contrast between his skin
and
the
hair? I think as you go grey, if you still look young and you go grey, it just looks off.
Well, he might be a bit busy, so maybe just a box of Just
For
Men.
I'll tire for him.
No, that was what I was going to say. You could a well-placed box of Just For Men.
Call over, Simon. I'll put your collar in. No problem. I do think like. See, you wouldn't get that in any other podcast, Niamh.
No, you're right.
You wouldn't get Emma Doran and Deirdre O'Kane offering to do the Prime Minister's collar.
No, they wouldn't.
We've a lot of time on our hands. My tour is coming to an end. I need a project.
Yeah, gosh, it will it be the same project as you did, you know, when you spent £700 on some sort of bedside locker? Do you remember you made that? What was it?
What was that?
Some sort of cabinet you made with...
Niamh, I don't like it when you bring up expenses from the past, because once I spend it, it's gone.
Oh, it's gone. Okay, yeah. That's all right.
No, that does sound like it.
It was some sort of carpentry you did, and you were saving. It must have been a project you did. I mean, I was very invested in it, clearly, but...
I did. I had a few projects. Do you know what my worst expense ever was, right?
Okay.
When I broke up with somebody. I don't know if I've talked about this before. I broke up with somebody and I was just, you know where you have like a bottle of wine at home?
Okay.
To get over a breakup.
The emergency breakup wine.
Yeah, breakup wine.
Did you have to break a piece of glass to get it?
Yeah. Yeah, to get a lump hammer to the wall to get it out. I bought a replica of the bottle in I Dream of Jeannie. I did, yeah. A handmade replica of the bottle in I Dream of Jeannie. Do you remember I Dream of Jeannie?
Yeah.
Yeah, she lived in a bottle.
Yeah.
And I bought a replica of it.
Because?
I don't know. I just thought that would be a great thing to have.
Did you want to live in it?
I Googled.
Was it life size?
It wasn't that I saw it online and thought I'd buy that. I was sitting at home. I'd had...
You actively searched this out.
A medicinal glass of wine. And I thought, you know what? Do you know what I'd love? A replica of that bottle, because it looked cool.
Do you know?
And I thought, surely there's somewhere online that will make that, and there was. And and I went on and I bought it, and it was €350.
Did it heal your heart?
Do you know what? It didn't not heal it. It arrived and I was like, well, that was extreme. I'll always remember that night.
It didn't not heal it.
I still have it. I still have it. Now, the problem with it is that...
What do you use it for?
It just sits on the counter. You see, the thing about it is, it's so... I Dream of Jeannie is so old, people don't recognise it. They just go, that's kind of ugly.
I'm sorry, but it's really distracting that you have a tissue between your legs now.
Oh. Sorry, Niamh. I thought I'd put it back in my pocket. I cannot get rid of this cold. Do you think it's something serious? I think I'm going to go and get a load of tests. Because I keep getting sinus infections.
The sinus infection thing is not good. You might be allergic to something.
Hard work.
Well, could be that. Or cats.
Niamh.
Could you imagine?
I have thought that. Once or twice she has... Like, because here's the thing. Now, this is a bit disgusting if you're not a cat lover, right? One of the reasons I have a beard...
Don't. There's two thoughts in my mind right now. I'm desperate for you to finish that because I need it to be finished, but also I'm slightly afraid of the answer.
One of the reasons I have a beard is that Boots really likes it when I rub her with my chin.
Okay.
Right? That's what used to happen with my dad. When my dad had a beard, he would like, do you want a tittle of my beard? And then he'd give us a tittle like down our cheek.
Oh. He always tried to come across so hardcore, and you're such a sweet boy.
And then my boyfriend does it on me bum cheek.
There we go. Back in the room.
But yeah, she loves it when I do that on the back of her head. Because that makes them think of their mother.
And you know, scratching posts and stuff.
Yeah, but sometimes I will rub my chin and there'll be cat hair on it. And it makes me sneeze.
Oh, well, yeah, naturally.
You know, I guess now the solution is probably you could, for the love of God, wash yourself around that. We are pausing for a moment to remind you that Agony Rants is part of...
the Head Stuff Plus Podcast Network. I have to always take a second with that, I'm sorry. That's
the
why Head he does
Stuff
it so well.
Podcast Network, where all of your favourite shows live on the internet. And if you would like to support the show further, more than just downloading the episode, more than telling your friends about it, more than sharing it on social media or leaving us a lovely review...
Yes.
You can give us money.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not saying that you have to give us money, but it is always helpful.
It absolutely is always helpful, considering we earn nothing from it.
Not a single
absolutely nothing,
bean.
Niamh. Now, we would like to make it easier for you to give us money.
Oh, excellent. How do we do that?
We ran an offer a little while ago where anyone that subscribed to Head Stuff Plus got a free Agony Rants Do Not Disturb sign.
Yes.
And we are running it again for the month of May.
Yes. wonderful. And you know what, actually? They are pretty fabulous.
They are pretty fab. I anyone that sees them seems to really like them. And yeah, any of the ones that we've sent. And now I am nervous, I have to say, right? Because we will send it anywhere. So wherever you are in the world, if you subscribe to Agony Rants,
we will send it.
We will send it. There's a few to New York and Australia that I have to say, Niamh.
Was it more expensive than the actual?
Quite expensive, Niamh.
Well, that's
we
okay.
Didn't build in the postage and packaging, but look, we are where we are. A promise is a promise, Niamh.
So you have to subscribe for more than a month.
Yeah, please do, please. So yeah, if you would like to subscribe, we would love it. And we will send you an Agony Rants Do Not Disturb sign. And we'll also send one of those thank you cards.
Yes, which we have both signed. And, you know, and if you're having difficulty, you know, figuring out how to subscribe, Paul, what's your name again?
Lionel.
Garode has done a how-to video, haven't you?
Yes, it's up on, I'll post it, I'll repost it.
Repost
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So in order to get the Do Not Disturb sign, you have to subscribe to Headstuff Plus and you have to subscribe for 100% to Agony Rants.
Yes.
So all of the money that you are subscribing on Headstuff Plus goes to Agony Rants.
Yes.
And we will send you a Do Not Disturb sign. You will also get bonus content from all of the shows on the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Yeah.
And you will get our bonus content, which is Vintage Rants.
Yeah.
So don't waste a minute. It's only for the month of May. The show that we are cross-promoting this week is For Tech's Sake. That is hosted by Jenny and Elaine.
I know. I love this program. They're so fun, actually. They really are. I know. They're very knowledgeable.
They're very knowledgeable, Niamh.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, they're also fun.
Yeah. Like, if you're looking to make the text bigger on your iPhone, they'd be able to do it like that. So if you want to know about space, AI, drones, Jenny and Elaine are the people to talk to you about.
Without a doubt.
For Tech's Sake is a podcast that goes beyond the hype of tech developments to bring listeners the knowledge they need to make informed decisions. And it's hosted by me, Elaine Burke, a science and technology journalist.
And me, Jenny Darmody, editor of Silicon Republic.
Each episode, we're joined by an expert to answer our probing questions to discover what's good tech and what's just tech for tech's sake.
And we've had some amazing guests this season, including roboticist Niamh Donnelly. She was just named Woman of the Year in STEM by Irish Toddler.
We also had Ireland's AI ambassador, Dr. Patricia Scanlon, Stripe CTO, David Singleton, and Bobby Healy, CEO of Irish drone company, Mana.
And last season, we had Abiba Berhane, who was recently appointed to a UN advisory panel on AI.
We certainly know how to pick them. And if you want to be in the know on tech, robotics, drones, AI, and what have you, on a deeper and more human level, be sure to subscribe.
Niamh, yes, we have spoken on this show at length about decluttering.
And I think we should do a programme again.
About decluttering?
Yes, I'd love to.
I think we should too.
I think
because
so.
I have to say, nothing makes me happier than when I do a bit of a decluttering. Now, if you are somebody out there that is struggling with your decluttering, we have help.
Oh.
We have help, Niamh.
Do we?
We do. Ireland has a decluttering expert.
No way.
A proper, trained by Marie Kondo, decluttering expert.
Like officially?
Yeah. He's the only male one.
No.
Yeah. So if you need your home decluttered, if you need help or an enthusiastic voice in your decluttering experience, drop a line to Joy at Home. Joy at Home is Aidan Gately. He is the decluttering expert on Home Rescue, you know, the show on RTE.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. What's it called? The Big Fix?
Oh, yes.
I think Home Rescue, The Big Fix. He's the decluttering expert. He has his own company where he will basically be the cattle prod that makes you declutter. He will help you. He can come to your home. He can do it for you. He can do it with you. Or he can do consultations on Zoom.
Wow.
Joyathome.ie, Niamh. It's a game changer.
That might just change my life.
Exactly. He said we need.
But what happens if, you know, he asks me to clear out things that don't spark joy?
Well, then you could just say, oh, yeah, I will. Yeah, I'll put them in a bag, bring them to cherry shop, then just take them out.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll do.
You know, you can do like what he does. You can do what he says to do. And then when he goes, just put a few things back.
Okay.
Yeah. Joyathome.ie, change your life. Niamh, we have news.
Okay.
There is another gay comedian coming to Ireland, which I'm against.
Just the one.
I'm against. Morgan Rhys. He's a very funny man. He has the podcast Chatting with Cherubs with Josh Jones. Again, another funny gay man.
Okay, so Morgan Rhys, would he be Scottish?
He's Welsh. Morgan Rhys is Welsh and he is... I'm going to be honest with you. This is the thing that I fundamentally do not like about the man. He's incredibly attractive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've got a problem.
I know you have a problem with that.
I have a problem with attractive gay men becoming comedians, right? They have enough. It's munchers like me that we trade on our personality.
You're not a muncher.
No, but you know what I mean? I have a look. I've got a certain look that, you know, needs to be bolstered by a personality. No, I look like somebody that needs a personality. I'm well aware of what I see in the mirror.
You have a big charisma.
I've loads of charisma, Niamh, but unfortunately, like, when you look at me, you know, like on a bad day, I get followed around deals because they think there's, you know, a junkie shoplifting.
Oh,
it's
my God.
It's me eye bags, Niamh. Morgan Rhys is coming to Whelan's on the 9th of June.
Oh.
It's his tour show, Turning Thirsty. And it's going to be a great night. He's a very funny man. Morgan Rhys, Whelan's, 9th of June.
Love it.
Miss it, miss out. Niamh, we have follow-ups.
We have follow-ups.
We have
I'm
follow-ups.
Very
indeed.
Excited about our follow-ups.
We have a follow-up. I'll read this one from Liam and Saran.
Excellent.
It was written by Saran. Now, Saran, am I pronouncing that right? It could be Soren. This is so lovely. If you remember, this was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. One of the earlier ones. Yeah, it was a brilliant, brilliant problem.
It was lovely. With the potential to be lovely, but the problem was they were a gay couple. They were adopting two boys.
Yeah.
And they were meeting a lot of resistance from some friends and family.
Yeah, they felt like it was really quite difficult, I remember.
Yeah, they were finding it really difficult and they weren't sure what to do. And we just said, cut them out. So they've got back in touch.
It sounds like a you thing to say.
Yeah, I mean, you were more pragmatic. You were like, have conversations. I was hit them.
I know, but I think I did finish off in the nicest possible way of saying, if they can't deal with it, they just have to.
Yeah.
It's up to them to adjust there.
Get rid.
Yeah, no. That's enough of that, carry on. Go on anyway.
Dear Agony Rants, wanted to write to you with a follow-up. We wrote as a gay couple on the path to adoption who were facing a lot of remarks from families and friends on our suitability to adopt considering our lifestyle. Yeah, that's a button for me. People say lifestyle.
I know.
I write this update to you surrounded by untidied Lego bricks and toy cars.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, our 80s and 90s record collection has made way for Baby Shark and Kids Bop as our house for two has now become a home for four. Aww.
Oh, so brilliant.
You know, if you need to get rid of those 80s and 90s records, just look, you know, send me an email.
I was going to say,
take them off your hands.
Yeah.
We are finally a family since early March. Our boys are settling in as well as one can hope after a turbulent couple of years and we are both on maternity leave. The beauty of the Norwegian social security system, we can enjoy some leave even though I didn't have to squeeze two humans out of me. What a country.
I'll be honest with you, I'm sitting here with such envy that you didn't have to squeeze them out. Speaking of someone
she's done some squeezing in her day. Thank you for the advice and reality check. You were both right and we needed to cut out influences in our lives that didn't support us. We had some very difficult conversation with friends and extended family who did not believe in us.
Yeah, it's hard.
We asked them to put our friendship on hold for a while. We only wanted to be surrounded by positive influences and energy for our children. In time, when they see we have made the right decision, we can pick back up these friendships and relationships. Honestly, there are a number of these which we may not return to. Our Saturday mornings in bed after a long night dancing to Madonna have been replaced by soft play centres and football matches. Oh. And we couldn't be happier.
Oh my
Saran
God.
And Liam.
I am so
That's
happy.
So lovely, isn't it?
I am so happy for you. And you know what, actually, you're right. You may not revisit them, but that's okay.
Yeah, you're in a new phase now.
You are.
You'll meet other couples that, like, you know, what are those, you know, like those really judgy, like those parent and child groups.
Like yummy mummies. And...
Yes.
There'll be a lot of yummy mummies.
Yeah, you'll be a friend with a couple of yummy mummies at the library.
You know, at story time.
Yeah, they'll you can all just judge each other.
Yeah, there's a lot more clubs now than when I was. there was a mums and toddlers group when I was young, you know, when my kids were young. But, my sister, who's just had her baby, goes to a lot. Well, originally she went to a lot and then she realised that was killing her.
Yeah.
So now she just goes to story time at the library, which is lovely. Then she brings her child for play dates.
It was different back in your day, though.
Yeah, it was.
Find a space in the radiator and handcuff your child so it wouldn't come over here and have a coffee.
I still remember the eldest coming out into me telling me he was bored, and I said, I gave you a brother. Off you go. That's it. Go and hit him. I would say, it's not that I wasn't hands-on as a mother, but I think it's not necessarily your job to amuse
Absolutely
every second.
Absolutely, Niamh. They cut the cord.
I did nearly fall over all the Lego in my day, but I'm just saying.
You're a great mother, Niamh. Saran and Liam, we couldn't be happier for you.
So happy. So,
so delighted.
Happy.
And continued health and happiness to you and your lovely family.
And don't forget now to be playing the Eurovision songs when they get old enough. Now.
Absolutely, yeah. You know. Yeah. I mean, as a gay man, I have to say it's very heartening when I hear of like gay families.
Really?
Like, gay couples having kids, I think it's lovely.
Did you want
to? I would, yeah. I would. I'd love to have a kid. Yeah.
Oh, I could be a grantee.
Yeah, I would. I would love to.
I would love it. I would wholeheartedly support
that. I might like, well, I might abduct one. It's just easier. It's a lot of forms. A lot of forms.
Small bit of legality, but who cares? Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
We're artists, darling.
Exactly.
We live outside.
Niamh, we have a problem. Do
we
you want to read the problem?
We have a problem. I'm going.
Oh, it's the problem and a half. Do you want me to read this one? It's very long.
Are you saying that I don't do long problems good?
No, you do long problems good. I'm just saying, but you just look like you wish you were dead.
No. No, I should read this now. I'm going to get my good mammy's voice out now saying that. Hello, Gorod and Eve. You can call me Attractor, a criminally underused name. I only found the podcast recently after Niamh made an impromptu guest appearance on Fad Camp, which was quite a while ago, actually. And I thought she was very funny. I'm thoroughly enjoying it, and Vintage Rants as well. Love this.
Behind
Attractor.
The paywall.
Love this.
Attractors. You shelling are, out money.
I know, we like the money coming. You are both fantastic and I am flying through the back catalogue at record speed. So on to my problem. I am in my 30s and my fiance and I have been together since college. And he is my first boyfriend. We are getting married within the next year. Oh, I really love him, and honestly, day to day, we have a great life. We get on, make each other laugh, have similar interests and hobbies, enjoy spending time together, and very rarely argue. But the closer the wedding gets, the more I begin to question a decision I made a few years ago. Wow.
Uh-oh.
Back in late 2020, I discovered that my boyfriend had cheated on me with a close friend of his after I found what was essentially a love letter from her in his sock drawer. Before you say it, Gorod, I wasn't snooping.
Excuse me, I've no problem with a snoop.
I know, to be fair.
I applaud it.
To be fair.
I applaud a snoop.
I was putting away the washing and the drawer jammed and wouldn't close, and I found the letter trying to fix it.
Okay.
Now we're trying to justify the snooping.
Justification. That, justifications are not required. Specifically a justification as pathetic as that one.
Yeah, you know, we're all for the snooping, to be fair.
All for it.
I was completely shocked because I never suspected a thing. The letter wasn't concrete, as in, oh, it could have been a one-sided fantasy from her. I was going to say it would be a very heavy letter if it was concrete. So I logged into his computer and checked his messages to her and found some explicit ones from early 2019, which confirmed that he had slept with her at least a couple of times.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. From the messages, it also seemed like they hadn't spoken in over a year at the time I read them.
Okay.
Okay, so I confronted him, and though his first instinct was to deny it, he admitted to it almost immediately and agreed to answer my questions honestly, which he did. I was devastated, as I had never so much as been tempted to cheat. I was also really hurt, as it also seemed they had much more adventurous sex than we ever had. So it felt like he was bored with me and left me with confidence issues around sex and also my appearance. Wow. During several conversations around the cheating, it came out that he was actually planning to propose to me at the time I found out and had already bought a ring. I obviously considered breaking up, and if he had still been in contact with her, I probably would have. But since the affair was over and he seemed genuinely remorseful, we decided to stay together and work on our relationship. I warned him that there was a long way to go before I would be ready for marriage. He honestly has put the work in and done everything I asked. He blocked her immediately and destroyed the letter. He's been better at communicating his needs, and so have I. Anytime I feel insecure about an interaction he had, he heard me out, did not make me feel crazy, and adjusted his behaviour until I could trust him again. We eventually got engaged last year, and I thought we could put our issues behind us. I didn't tell anyone at the time or since what happened. At first, I was embarrassed, and then once I decided to stay in the relationship, I didn't want my friends to judge me or him or treat him differently. But because of that, I never got anyone else's perspective. I have to say that again.
Didn't get anyone else's perspex.
No. But because of that, I never got anyone else's perspective. Now that the wedding is approaching, I'm finding it's nagging at me. I worry that it's all too good to be true, and despite how happy I am, that since he's cheated once, he'll do it again. Only next time it will be harder to walk away. There could be kids or a house involved, or even though I know lots of people divorce, it's not something I want in my future. Also, since I had no idea it was happening at the time, I'm worried I could be blindsided again. Most of the time, I am certain I see a future with him and really thought we had worked through all our issues before we got engaged. Still, then I find myself scrolling Reddit, reading all the disaster stories of failed marriages and secret second families, and I worry I'm setting myself up for disaster. At the very least, I don't want this to be at the back of my mind for our entire lives and would love some advice on how to get this to bed for good so it doesn't come up every time we go through a rough patch. I don't want to burst our current bliss bubble, but I do think we need to have another conversation about how I'm feeling. I'm just not sure what the purpose of the conversation should be or how I approach it now that so much time has passed. I know this isn't a problem that could be solved by burning down a building. I think she's talking to you
unfortunately,
there.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
But I hope you can offer some advice nonetheless. My mental health could use some perspective and I don't want to enter marriage with this anchor still attached to me. Also, did you ever hear again from the girl from the Bell End brother-in-law in Texas from one of your earlier episodes? I really want to know what's happening at that wedding. Oh.
Did we hear from... I
don't think we
part
did.
Part of me thinks that we did.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to trawl through now. You've given me a job to do. Attract it.
I don't know, actually. I don't remember what happened. Was that the one that they oh, sorry, they were going to Texas to get married, wasn't it?
Yes, I think that.
No, we didn't hear back from them.
No, we didn't.
If you're listening, we'd love a little follow up.
Give us an L follow up.
We'd love to know how that went.
Okay, so I've lots of thoughts on this, but I think you should start.
I think she's getting married and she's got pre-wedding jitters.
Absolutely.
And I think that is completely understandable, right? Mm-hmm. I think they've both done everything right. I mean, obviously he cheated and that's not great. That's, you know, bad. It was a betrayal. But they have recovered from it.
Yeah.
And I think if they've recovered from it properly, and I think they have. Like I think they've done everything right. Like, I mean, she's like, he really seems to have gone
the whole
hog. Like, he's done everything she's asked. So much so that I think that if you want to have another conversation with him about this, I think he'd be open to it.
Yeah, I think so.
You see, I think she did the right thing in talking to her friends, in not talking to her friends.
I agree.
Because I feel if you're going to continue with somebody, you don't want the judgment, you don't want the backbiting. You just have to look at the situation for yourself. I think if she is letting it go, she has to let it go.
I agree.
But that's easier said than done. How long ago did the cheating happen?
Apparently around 2019.
Oh, how long ago did she find out though?
A year later. So 2020.
Oh, okay, so it's 4 years. Okay, so like it's 4 years clean, like.
4 years clean.
Do you know what I mean?
there's a couple of things
though that we have to like that we should address, right?
Right. Okay.
Firstly, I was really hurt because it seemed like they also had much more adventurous sex than we ever had. Of course they did.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Well, like, in a relationship, you're getting the house curry. He got something, like, if you're cheating, it's something from the, you know.
It's the full vindaloo.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you're getting one of the daily specials.
Can I have a you little know, extra spice in there?
Exactly. It's always going to be,
yeah.
It's always going to be hotter and, you know, different.
Okay.
And sometimes if you're in a long-term relationship, different is...
Yeah, but do you think that's because he wants more adventure or is she saying she wants to be a bit more adventurous? Because if that's the case, you need to initiate that.
Yeah, well, maybe she does want to be a bit more adventurous.
So but do
I think,
it.
But the thing about it is, if you... if you're in a long-term relationship, mm-hmm. everybody else's sex life feels like it's more adventurous than yours.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I think it does. Yeah. Like, if I talk to my friends about, you know, you're kind of like, God...
Oh, that sounds exciting. Do you remember?
Yeah. But then,
do you remember when we didn't sit and watch Vera for four hours and get excited?
Yeah, we watched 13 episodes of Law and Order: Special Victims Unit, and they gave him a hand job.
You know, like when I said goodbye to my husband yesterday and I said, will you miss me? Because I was going to be away for a week. And he's going in with his lap tray with his breakfast on saying, yes, of course I'll miss you. And he's so controlled with the remote control. It's not that he doesn't love me, but yeah, you're right.
I know, like, but it's just everything else, everything that's different when you're in a routine feels like it's adventurous, but it may not have been adventurous.
Yeah.
It could be a case that he was like, oh, this is not as intimate as I'd like it to be. Or this is, you know. Like, there's a trade-off between intimate and hotness.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. Because
the less intimate, the hotter it is. No eye contact, please.
Don't speak.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't speak. Unless you've got a really nice voice, don't speak. Here's my thinking on that, right? This is her first and only boyfriend, by the sounds of it. That's what she said. He is my first boyfriend. So essentially, she's not been with anybody else, I'm assuming, from this conversation.
Okay.
Right? And so perhaps she is anticipating that there's something more exciting in what's happening there, right? And then on the other side of this, you are anticipating quite a lot. You've gone, you know, my mantra sometimes is don't skip ahead, right? But you're skipping ahead ferociously because you're already into a second family living somewhere else and everything else.
Yeah.
Now, you need to stop looking at the Reddit.
Stop looking at Reddit.
Stop that, right?
Because here's the thing.
Because you're looking at something. No, sorry, I have to say this. You are looking at something that has nothing to do with the relationship that you clearly have.
Yeah.
You clearly have, for the last 4 years, had a very supportive and proper relationship. There are absolutely no guarantees in this world. I cannot be clearer about this, right? We could marry the love of our lives and we could be the love of their lives and it still wouldn't guarantee that you will have a successful marriage, right?
Yeah.
Marriage is work. It's fabulous. It's wonderful. It's traumatic. It's all of those things, but it is work. And the thing is, every relationship is work. Some is easier than others. So do not go into marriage thinking that just the fact that there's a ring on the finger, that's the end of the work. The work is there all the time, right? But the point is, he is clearly wanting the work. He wants to be with you. The big question is, do you want to be with him? And really, at the end of the day, that's the only question.
The only thing that matters, yeah.
That is the only question to be answered. And you clearly do love him. Don't be looking at Reddit for things that could possibly go wrong. Why don't you look at what could be fabulous between the two of you?
Exactly.
You know.
Like, because here's the thing. Nobody goes on Reddit to talk about how happy they are.
No. My strong feeling is you're having a bit of a nervous moment before marriage. I think that's incredibly normal. These are all incredibly. And it's completely normal for you to be slightly concerned that, you know, this happened. Now, if this has happened recently, absolutely, I'd be screaming at you, for God's sake.
Get out, yeah.
No, not even get out. Take your time here.
Yeah.
But this, you have taken the time. He has taken the time. He has proven to you time and time and again. And if you, you know, based on what you say, don't be looking for lipstick, because you will find it, because eventually what happens is people get tired of being accused of something.
I think people are afraid to say something's good.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is, like, we're led to believe these really weird things. Like, for example, you're with this person, you'll stay with them for the rest of your life. Marriages actually end. They do. Some marriages end.
Yeah.
The other thing is, relationships end. People cheat. And we've been led to believe that cheating is this. And it is. I'm not minimizing it at all. But I am saying that people in relationships cheat and they get over it and they move on and they're very happy.
Yeah.
Like, there's, you know, there is all of this stuff, like, once a cheater, always a cheater, all of this stuff. Mm. But also, he's been burned. He almost lost you. He did an awful lot to show that he regretted it.
Yeah.
You know, this could be okay. And I think that what your perception is that you had this perfect relationship and there's this thing that is kind of like a taint on it, that's like a secret thing that you are kind of holding. And in your head, your relationship isn't perfect. So you're kind of wondering, because this isn't perfect, because it's this like secret thing that happened in the past, should it be the relationship that you commit to for the rest of your life? And here's the thing, no relationship's perfect.
No, not even a
none.
Bit. None.
I mean, I love my boyfriend with all my heart.
I know you do.
But if somebody told me in 20 years' time you'll be in jail for his murder, you'd be like, yeah, we can figure that happen. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do.
I think that's marriage. Like, if somebody says in 20 years' time you'll be very happy and you'll still be together. You're like, yeah, I can see how that would happen. And by the same token, if somebody...
Yeah,
said,
you might not be.
You'll be in jail for his murder. It'll have happened in the kitchen because...
because that, he doesn't know the dishwasher, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because he left a glass over the dishwasher.
Here's the thing. I think we're thinking too... Everything is... I don't know how to say this, but basically, I find what happens is people just use this sentence, the rest of my life.
I know.
Right? It's so huge. Don't think of it as the rest of your life. Think about the person that you're with. How much do you love them? You love them. Absolutely love them. You can see the work that the both of you put into your thing. You're having a lovely time. Get on with your life now. Get married or not, whatever you decide to do. But the reality here is, don't think of the rest of your life. Do the job in front of you. And what's happening here is for 4 years, essentially, this man has proven to you time and again that he is committed to doing what you want and to hearing you and to being... Now, he...
Yeah.
That's a ferocious amount of effort to put in to gaslight you.
I know. It's so a lot. Yeah.
It's unlikely that that is necessary. Do you understand what I mean? So that, you know, in today, and you can do whatever you want, I suppose. But there's no guarantee attractive. But I will tell you that if he proves to you that he loves you, you know, that might have been an anomaly. It might have happened. And the fact that he kind of kept the letter, he probably didn't know how to feel about that. That's a bit of a strange one. But when he realized what you felt about it, then he dealt with it. And like, in my head, I think I understand your insecurity. So when you say that you accepted and you decide not to tell anybody else, you made a decision, an active decision to forgive him. And now it's time to not carry it. Forgetting is hard. But what I'm saying is you got to not carry it into the future. You need to make a conscious decision. Either can I put this away and not think about this again? And rather than one act that happened 5 years ago, you know, what about the last, really live in the 4 years that he's been there with you?
Yeah.
And take that with you into the relationship rather than the one thing that happened.
Well, let's play devil's advocate here, okay, right? Let's say that we say to attract it, do you know what? He cheated on you 4 years ago. This could happen again. Get out.
Yeah.
Right? So... she packs up bag and baggage. Mm-hmm. She puts his goldfish in the Nutribullet.
Yeah.
As he deserves. As he deserves.
Extra protein.
Right? Exactly.
Omega 3.
Makes a smoothie for the cat.
Make him drink it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And she leaves.
Right.
Right? Because there's only two options here.
Yeah.
Like, this is binary. It's like you're either...
Going to marry him
or you're not going to marry him.
And if you're not going to marry him, you're leaving him.
Yeah, because like the thing about it is you're worried that you're going to regret marrying him. But what about if in a year's time you realise we had 4 years of happiness, we were over it, and I didn't get married to this man because of this thing that happened 5 years ago and I couldn't get over it. I think that could potentially also be a regret.
Oh no, it would be.
Like if you... And even, like, I know that this isn't... this a proper agony aunt wouldn't say this.
Like, whoa.
But if you marry somebody and you've 5 blissful years and then it all falls apart, if it falls apart after 5 years, is it still not worth having married them?
Listen.
I don't know. I personally think it is. I think it is worth marrying.
I agree. And see, the thing is, anticipating all the things that could go wrong in life, you would never get into a... car.
You wouldn't do anything. Maybe what they should do, actually, this might be a good one. Maybe they should do a session of couples counselling.
Oh yeah, that would be good.
Just like go in and just say, we're getting married, you know, there's a bit of, you know, we had this thing in our past. Maybe just let's go in and just have a little chat.
Yeah.
Just because
we're free for that, aren't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Money on the table, attractor.
That could be a bonus episode.
Cash payments only. But like maybe if they just did that so that they go in and it's just, she's just says, I want to just do just one session because I want to talk about the thing that happened ages ago and I am over it. I don't want you to feel attacked by this, but I just like a facilitated conversation because I just want to get this out before we start our lives together.
Yeah.
I think that's fair enough. And no, he's been so accommodating all the way through. Now, granted, he was riding someone else, but like, why wouldn't he be? But like,
Yeah, but does that mean for the rest of his life he has to atone for that?
No, I think this should be the end of it.
No, I think she needs to decide if it's done for her or not. And no offense to attractive, because to be fair, I think she's within her rights to be hurt by it.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
I'm not saying that you ever go, look, you know, you won't have moments even if you went a couple, even if you did all the right things to get over something. It isn't that occasion you kind of sit and look and go, I can't believe I did that. But actually, attractive, you have already made that decision. So at this point, you either have to decide, yes, I can forgive him and actually get past that. Or if you can't, then that's the end of it.
You see,
because trust is really important. It is.
It is important. But the other side of it is, right?
Mm.
For some couples, monogamy isn't important.
No, I know.
And like, there's such a stigma around saying that.
No.
I think it's particularly for straight people. Like, I mean, gay, you know.
I know. You're always telling me you have such a lovely life.
I do not mean. I am totally monogamous.
You are.
I have snogged one man, other man, in 14 years, and that was for a film.
I know.
And I swear,
you still talk about
so
it every day. Every day.
So hot.
Every day.
He was all muscly. And I did about 147 takes. I was like, I need to go again. I need to go again.
I wasn't feeling it.
Oh, Gordon. He was like, oh, kiss me now. Kiss me. I was like, yeah, no problem. Oh, we should do this from another angle.
All for artistic endeavor.
Send up a drone.
So maybe that's the answer, Tractor. Maybe you need to make a film. I mean, realistically, you know, I'm still wondering, is it the fact that if he's been your only boyfriend? I'm just wondering, is there a little part of you that feels that maybe if he's been with someone else, it may not be.
Oh, really?
It may not be attractive. And
attractive,
I don't want to
come
do,
over.
I don't
want to attract you.
Come over.
Come over. Come over. I'll finger you. We provide a service if she's a subscriber.
We went from couples therapy to that. I hope my dad never listens to it. But anyway, so, but seriously, attractive, I am in full support of everything you've done. You've done everything wonderfully.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it would be not, I mean, it's, you wouldn't be human if you didn't take a minute, just a second.
Oh, of course.
You know, but actually, I think Grode is right. I think there's probably an element of jitters and stuff. So you just want to look at the man that is in front of you, who's done everything he can to get over that, and say, do I love you enough to get past this?
Yeah.
And just live in the moment a little bit, attractive, because, you know.
Exactly. And do you know what?
I don't want your wedding to be ruined because
exactly.
You feel like you're.
Exactly. Don't think about that. Like, in a final word, the only thing we can say for sure in all of this, the only thing we can absolutely say for 100% certainty is, you're totally okay to be feeling like this.
Yeah. Oh, no.
It's totally okay to be feeling like this.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, the other thing is that he clearly loves you.
Yeah. And don't self-sabotage.
Oh, please don't.
I do that all the
time. Get off Reddit.
Yeah. We have another problem.
Oh, tell me the problem.
Which one are we doing now?
Three.
Okay. Hi, Garode. In Nina, you mentioned that you had a podcast with Niamh Kavanagh and I had to check it out. And I am absolutely obsessed with it. Oh my God, I love it. I have found this at the right time because my fiancé broke off his engagement with me in February. The bastard. The absolute bastard.
One extreme to the other. Now.
What a bollocks.
That boy.
What a bollocks. I'm living with my sister at the moment.
Oh my God.
Oh. Here is the thing. I really miss his dog.
Oh no.
Oh, that's rotten. It's his dog and I have no claim over him, but I loved him.
Aww.
I really miss him, and I was thinking of asking my ex if I could visit him or take him for a walk. Ding, 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 ding.
Sharp and take a breath. I was like,
we'll talk about that in a minute.
What do you think?
I'll tell you exactly what I think. I know it's weird, but I feel like things are hard enough at the moment, and this would really help. Thanks for all the laughs. I've really needed them. That dog is dead. That's the way you think of that dog.
Yeah, is dead. No. What you need to think of is that dog is in the farm.
Gone to live in a farm.
I tell you why. Because no contact with this man whatsoever.
None.
This is nothing to do with him. Get a new dog.
You're in a period of healing.
Yes.
That's what's going on.
Get a new dog.
You do not. And I'll tell you what. You don't miss that dog.
No.
You want an opportunity to go over and be, you know, all mysterious and melancholy and complicated in front of this man that broke your heart, right? Yeah. Which is something that you feel like you want to do, but you actually do not need to do.
That sounds like a plot line to some sort of TV.
It's an ITV drama with Joanne Froggatt.
Without a doubt, I can see her all the way.
No question.
Who'd play the dog?
Oh, I don't know. Who'd play the dog?
What kind of dog would it be? A Bernese Mountain Dog?
No, it would be a pug.
A pug? Oh my God, we have such different lives when it comes to things. No, seriously, I totally understand what you're doing, but you are completely right, bro. She is hankering after what was.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of going, oh, he broke up with me, but I really miss his mother, so I'm just going to take her out for coffee. It's like, No.
Absolutely not.
And I'm sorry, the reason... The reason I'm so strong on this.
Okay.
Is
Were you that soldier?
I am that soldier. That is who I am. That is who I am. I befriend their cousin on Facebook. Do you know
Let
what I
mean? Tell you.
Yeah.
Secretly, we all are that person, right?
Of course.
I tell you, because secretly, no matter who splits up with who, we want regret to be their middle name.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing you've done that makes you better than all of us.
Oh, yes. Come on.
Right?
Come on.
You've written to us.
Oh, yes.
It's the service we're providing, because I wouldn't have written to us.
No.
You
would have written to us.
I would have just shown up.
After you'd kidnapped the dog. Exactly. And the missing posters were all up around the place.
Yeah. I kidnapped the dog and there's dogs missing posters everywhere, and I'm not sure what I should do. Forget about this dog. Because here's the thing. As much as I'm an animal lover, right?
And we are.
And I really do. I really do. One of the things that happened years ago, this was such a lesson to me, right?
Oh.
When I was a kid, I had a dog, a Labrador called Rocky, who I adored.
Oh,
right?
Rocky.
Golden
I already
Labrador
love Rocky.
Retriever. Absolutely beautiful.
I already love Rocky.
And Rocky died. And to say I was devastated, because me and my friend Kev, we would walk that dog every single night.
Devastating.
I was devastated. And 6 days later, I literally thought I'd never get over this. Mm. 6 days later, my mom got me a new Labrador called Kim. And I swear to God, it heals the, you know, it does.
6 days.
6 days later. And I thought, it's too soon.
So if
but she
I
was
died,
like, no.
Right? Let's say if I died, right?
And Linda Martin.
Six days later, I would have thought Sonia would have been your first go-to, but no.
Oh, no, Sonia'd be busy. You wouldn't get Sonia. No, Linda.
Are you suggesting
Although
Linda's
if you're
not
dead,
busy.
Linda'd be... Ah, no, but she's local.
What are you saying about Linda?
Well, if you're dead, Linda's dead. Do you know what I mean? We need Bambi Thug.
Oh, Bambi Thug.
Yeah, they'd just be sitting there vaping. Glaring at me. If anything can get you Bambi. We'd have a Barocca.
I know. There'd be a lot of Barocca then, I tell you.
But, and it's not saying that animals are replaceable like that. They're not. But,
no.
But because they don't speak to you, and you get cuddles and love from them, it's very easy to replace them with another animal that you get cuddles and love for. So you go to the dog's trust and you tell your sister, I'm brokenhearted, I need an animal. And you go get yourself a dog.
Yeah, that was the thing I was about to say. I think you need to discuss it. Either live on your own or discuss it with your sister. Your need to have a dog.
Yeah, but you can emotionally blackmail the sister.
Well, I would say at this point, yeah.
Exactly. Just go away. Like, he broke up with me in February. I need a dog or I'll throw myself out of your, out the window of your caravan.
But here's the thing. I just want to say as a quick aside, although I love the dog situation, I'm really sad that your engagement broke up in February.
Yeah, I am as well.
Because that's quite soon. You know, and even if you knew it was coming and even maybe there was a relief involved, it's still a sad thing.
It's a really sad thing.
I'm really sad that that happened to you. So I think you definitely need a new dog.
But do you know what I will say?
Or at least a new car.
She's kind of doing everything right.
Yeah, she is.
Because she wrote to us about missing the dog. She didn't just go, I'm missing the dog, I'm going to go get the dog. She's kind of thought, this could be a bit.
Yeah, she did. She paused.
I need some perspective on this.
So,
which is good.
Who better?
Anybody.
Who?
Literally anybody's better. So I hope the heart heals soon, but I really do think, go get yourself a dog.
Yeah, no, or a pet, you know, a cat.
Have some fun, a cat, yeah.
Maybe a cat, you know. But honestly, seriously, I do not go, that dog is, I'm sure he's not mistreating that dog. I'm sure he's loving that dog. So let him have it. You need not go anywhere near him.
No.
That's
Don't
it.
Give him the
That's the rule. Don't make me come down there now.
Yeah. Nina, it's a long way.
I know.
It's a long way, Nina. It's a long drive. Niamh, it's been wonderful to talk to you.
Always, I love it.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoy our show, we would love it if you would subscribe to Headstuff Plus for as little as €5 a month.
It's nothing.
You can get loads of bonus content and you will feel like you are helping to keep our show on the road and in your ears.
Yeah.
And we will chat to you next week.
Can't wait.
Bye. Bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.